Police Judicial and Legal Committee meeting for this Monday, April the 14th. Appreciate everybody hanging in there. I know we're a little behind from our previous meeting, but the wheels of justice slowly grind, and here we are. Before we get started, I want to tell everybody on our staff in every department what a great bridge run we had on Saturday. Everything went off, to my knowledge, without a hitch. If there was a hitch, it certainly didn't. It certainly wasn't visible. And many people who were there just mentioned that, you know, when it was held last September, people were a little tentative, first big event after a pandemic and all that, but it felt like a festival in Mount Pleasant on Saturday, actually on Friday when the car started getting here. And it was just another great day. Most of the council members were there. And I just want to thank our staff, because I know you worked through the night getting it set up, worked through the day taking it down. I had the wonderful experience of having a late breakfast at Arts on Coleman, and when our police, our fire truck went by and our public services trucks pulled up and they were taking down all the barricades and everything, without any prompting by me or the other council members who were there, the whole place erupted in a standing ovation for our people. And that's just Mount Pleasant. That's who we are. Our public workers in every department are treasured and valued by our citizens. And I'm glad I had the phone handy, because that's a moment I know I'll always want to remember. So that, I want to thank our citizens for that as well. So item number two on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the
approval.
All right. Second.
Have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right. The minutes are approved. Item number three is public comments. Are there anyone here for public comments? Please come forward. Name and address, and the chair would like to say that 2.5 minutes is the limit today.
Well, thank you so much. First, I second the kudos for the bridge run. I appreciate what you all do. I know you missed me at the last meeting. I couldn't make it, but I have a few things I want to go over. First, we're still left with a 65 decibel level, and we don't even have a 55 at night anymore in the latest draft. So I wanted to remind you of what 65 decibels sounds like. TV in your living room at 10 feet at a sound volume of 60. That's really loud, kids. A leaf blower 75 to 100 feet away, 65. A gas-powered washer at about 75 feet, 65. The really noisy AC unit behind the Darby building at about 30 feet, 65. A loud party at the post house in the courtyard measured across the street from them, 65. A concrete pouring truck at 125 feet, 65. These are life-altering, damaging noises, and that cannot be the level at which this is set, both day and night. What that does is it now allows, let's say, Shem Creek to go till 2 in the morning pumping out music that can be plainly heard in people's yards and possibly even in their houses. That's not right. That needs to stop. Second, I want to emphasize that this process needs better opportunity for public input. It cannot be that the group of us who have come loyally to every meeting get on a Thursday afternoon a revised draft with major changes and work hard over the weekend to do the best we can to get you all our comments on that. And that's not fair to you either. I have no idea where that draft came from, when it was generated, when all of you may have seen it, but we got very little notice and we had very little opportunity to provide you with any real comment. That is not the right thing to do. I've asked you before, consider something novel. Put a citizens committee together with the people who have been working on this ordinance for a while. Give us a chance. We can produce a better ordinance.
Thank you. Next.
Good afternoon. My name is Debbie Nuttall, and I'm here to basically ask you to seriously consider the ordinance for the noise. It has greatly impacted my life. Unfortunately, my neighbors have decided that they should install some noisy equipment right at the property line where I live, and it's kind of created a real hazard for me. I no longer can enjoy coffee or dinner on my porch. And I think it's needed, just not for me, but for everyone to be able to just enjoy their property and protect their property values and just quietness. And I did send an email to you guys to kind of explain everything. And that's about it.
Next, please. And we do need name and address, please.
Harold Welka, 2605 Turbine Place, Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. It's in Planters Point off Highway 41. There was a petition circulated around my house for speed bumps. And I don't know if you guys received that petition yet, but I just want to object to it. Planters Point is not on the way to anything. There's no stores in there. There's no businesses in there. The only people that go in there are the people that live there. And I believe we can self-regulate our own speed. And there used to be a cop that lived the second house on Smoke Rise and kept his cop car there. That really kept the speed down. But I have a boat, and I don't know if you guys have... Do you guys know what a skeg is? It's a piece of the... So a little thing that sticks down in front of the propeller. It's all the way at the bottom of the engine anyway. It's a piece of metal, thin piece of metal in front of the propeller that protects it. So they got speed bumps all along the road going to Rumbly's Point. And I forgot to take my motor all the way up one time. And I was going over speed bump very slow, but I still hit my skeg on the speed bump and broke it. I also, the motor I had before that I purchased from somebody, it already had a broken skeg where he had hit on a speed bump. So now when I go to Rumbly's Point, I come to practically a point, and me and the other boaters, there's a lot of boaters going to Rumbly's Point, we all come to almost to a complete stop and let our three axles go over the speed bump very slowly until the trailer goes over, and then we can proceed to the next speed bump. So they're really a pain in the butt for boat owners, and I don't want to have to deal with that in my own neighborhood. And also for people with low-profile cars like a Corvette or a Mazda Miata or even a Volvo that has a low profile of 3 or 4 inches, they can go over the speed bump, then after their tire goes over, the back of their car can hit the muffler on it and tear that off, or they got that wind thing in the front. That could actually hit the speed bump before you go over it. And I've actually hit mine on a park. Actually, I hit mine on a parking thing today, my little thing, my little wind thing at the bottom. I hit it on a, I sometimes hit it on parking things, but it's so slow. I got a Volvo convertible. So anyway, I just want to object to this, these speed bumps in Planters Point before or whatever the.
You need to wrap up. Your time's up.
Okay, thank
yes,
you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Next, please.
Hello. Mike Tinkey, 208 Venning Street. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you being very deliberative of this process from the very beginning. It's contrary to that, though, in the time we were able to respond today. Very contrary to that. We had hours before we could commit. Y'all are busy, we're busy. It doesn't give you time to really do what you want. As far as the new ordinance, quite frankly, the old ordinance was better because at least it didn't increase dramatically the noise pollution. If we increased air pollution or water pollution by the factor from 40 to 50 decibels to 65 at nighttime, which we're saying we're going to do here, that percentage increase is dramatic. We'd have people storming the doors to increase it at that level. The 65 is, as Chris said, is onerous at that time. Nighttime is in the 40 to 50s. If you look at all the research, I ask you to help us understand what research was used to arrive at a data-driven answer to the 65. In other words, what comparative cities? If you look at the data that I provided, that Chris had provided before, and the last time around when it was 75, we were the dirty seven, but we're still way far from being in the top 10 communities as far as quality of life, as far as noise ordinance. 65 is just way too high. And so I encourage you to do that. I also encourage you to put back the nighttime and weekends, and I also encourage you to look at the exceptions. There are some things that really could be looked at a little more carefully, which is lawn and lawn care and equipment and agricultural equipment, and making sure that they're in some adherence or trying to get them a little lower, so that, like this morning, my wife had a headache. She couldn't even, she had to close the door. The noise was so loud just from the surrounding area. And there's things that we can do to take care of that. Our quality of life in the Old Village is just as important from a noise as it is air and water. And we encourage you to defer this vote till the next time so we can have adequate comment and feedback on this and make sure we have something that's data-driven to support these and comparative to towns, coastal towns of equal quality, whether it be the ones in Hilton Head or the, whether it be in North Carolina and others. So okay. I'd appreciate your consideration, and I encourage you to defer till next time. There's plenty to work on. This has been talked about for months, and we got a draft on Thursday.
Thank you,
that's Mike. Just not enough.
Next.
Hi there, Louisa Montgomery, 404 Church Street. I've been out of town, and I was not able to access this agenda until late Friday night and didn't have a chance to give any input. I did flash through some old paperwork, and I found the name of Kent Prowser affixed to something that he had influenced or written. I'm not sure what it was, y'all, because I've had a neck procedure this morning, and I'm still kind of woozy. I'm always woozy. Anyway, what is his expertise in decibels? I know he's a big wig, he's done a lot of stuff, but I'm not sure his ability to discern or judge or command the level of a decibel. So there.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Hello.
Yes, sir. Name and address, 2.5 minutes, please.
I'll do it in one. Eric Fornell, 256 Magwood, on the north side of the village. I've written a couple emails, but I have only lived here 32 years, and I've lived close enough to Shum Creek that I can hear the decibels going up quite a bit. I've had a lot of help from these guys, and they do come and they do tame it down every once in a while, but lately I can't sit on the back porch and watch or listen to any ball games that I have on at a very low level, much less 60 decibels. I fly airplanes for a living, and I am very protective of my hearing, but I still can't hear anything, and it's bothering me, so it's getting a little out of hand for me. So if, that's just one area of Mount Pleasant. I know noise is an issue everywhere, but that's my little issue. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Lewis Horton, 138 Live Oak. As you all know, the squigglies and the leaves have been coming down, and yesterday I was in my yard raking, and this couple I didn't even know walked by, and they said, well, at least you get to rake leaves to music. It's that loud. And so I'm just telling you, if you were to come and spend an afternoon on the weekend, you would understand our concern, particularly at night. It leads to some emails and texts back and forth between neighbors about what's going on. But it is a real problem, and it deserves serious consideration. And, you know, I'm a lawyer, and we always tend to go by something as an established precedent. And I like the comment that was made about looking at other coastal communities and seeing what their standards are, because they would be good go-bys, and I don't think any of them have 65 decibel ratings, and they do try to protect their residents at evenings and weekends. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Is that it for public comment? All right. I was following along with all this that we have been sent, and I have to find my agenda now in there somewhere. Okay, this moves us to item four, police matters, budget review for fiscal year 2020 23.
Thank you.
We have Eric and we have Chief Arnold here.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members of council, good afternoon. I'll lead off the police department budget for next year. Overall, we're proposing a 3.7% increase. It's just shy of $700,000. Most of that, good portion of that, is found in the salaries line item. Thanks to you and your actions over the last year with the adjustments to wages and compensation, as well as new wage adjustments proposed in this budget. Police department's looking very healthy, thanks to Chief Arnold and his team. We have 17 new officers in training. So when that training concludes, they'll be put to active duty. So that's the salaries portion, which is, oh, and by the way, you did, if you recall from my orientation on Wednesday, you did hire an additional school resource officer just a few months back in the current year's budget. In contractual services, which is the next page, a couple line items, couple items I'd like to point out. These are questions that tend to come up every year, but if you look down on item number 4, that's the Charleston Animal Society, is a $75,000 contribution. We've now gotten into the practice, because it was a contribution that was made by council for many, many years, of just going ahead and incorporating it into the police department budget. And
may I elaborate on that just a little?
Yes, sir.
A couple of years ago, they had a meeting. They had the mayors of North Charleston and Charleston, and included me. And I just want to be clear that what they are doing keeps us from having to fund staff and all that for animal control at that level. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's we have 2 animal control officers, but we rely heavily on their services.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes.
Mr. DeMora,
yeah.
Is the process for, I remember the process for giving these funds to Charleston Animal Society. There was a pot of money, and then groups apply for it, and we distribute the funds based on what services we as a town don't offer. Does that process still exist for other organizations?
It does, and you have $100,000 budgeted, proposed. That meeting comes at the final budget committee meeting of council. So as we start to get closer to that meeting, as all these things start to culminate to one end, we'll provide you with all the information as well as those who have applied.
Okay, and the question I have related to that is, because I think it somewhat relates to a police matter as far as just like keeping the neighborhoods safe and whatever, is for people who are, you know, unhomed. We do not have a homeless shelter in Mount Pleasant, and I know 180 Place is kind of the spot. Do we in that process, is 180 Place, do they formally apply? Do they have to, or?
They have to, yes.
Okay. But
whether they did or not, I can't recall. I can check with Marcy, might be more familiar.
Page 44. Yes, to apply. And the proposed allocation of the $100,000.
Great, thank you so much.
So it's just a page back. There it is there.
Sorry, I don't have my binder.
No problem.
Okay. All right, thank you.
You're welcome, thank you. Other highlights in this budget include an increase in security guards. We've had to utilize that service more than expected. We've also paid for an upgrade, if you will, which allows a guard to actually carry a weapon. Unfortunate but necessary. We're in the third year of a 5-year taser replacement program, and that increases that contract amount, $24,000. In addition, on the capital side of things, we are scheduled to replace 20 Chevy Caprices out of our fleet with new hybrid frontline type SUV police cars.
I have on the school resource officer, is there wiggle room for the town to negotiate more with the school district? Because I know they reimburse a portion of that. But I mean, really, this is something that should be provided by the school district, and it's something the town is doing for the safety of our students. But is there opportunity there for further discussion?
There's certainly opportunity. We were thankfully successful in negotiating more per officer about a year ago.
Okay.
Still not what we had hoped, but a big improvement. But we plan to go back and ask for additional funds.
All right, thank you.
Being the dog lover that I am, what's the item 42 on the very bottom? the K-9 vehicle monitoring system, and is that to keep the dogs cool if it's a hot summer day?
It is. If anything malfunctions with a car, it automatically pops the doors open to release the dog, so you don't have the possibility of a dog overheating. And the K-9 officers carry it with them on them, so when they're not connected, it sends them an alert.
Okay. I know that's a small item, but that's the kind of thing that would be a tragedy if it ever happened in this town. I know it's happened, unfortunately, other places. I guess, Chief, I always ask this every year that I've chaired this committee, just to make sure, because this is public safety, does this budget as proposed give you the resources, the training, and the funding that you need to carry out your duties?
It does, absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Chapman, you got any other
No, sir.
Questions? I guess procedurally, Mr. Pagliarini, we can do a vote. This would be in effect, well, it's not a first reading, obviously only council can do that, but it doesn't mean that it can't be tweaked or changed before it goes to council, right? Just basically an affirmation of what has been proposed at this point.
A recommendation.
A recommendation, okay.
So moved.
All right.
Second.
Any discussion? All right, all in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, motion passes unanimously.
Thanks, Chief.
Did that cover also the capital fund projects and maintenance expense?
Yes.
I think it did.
Yes.
I just want to make sure. I'm famous for moving past those little tiny eyes down there. Number five, judicial matters, the budget review for fiscal year 2023. Well, hello, how are
hello.
You? Thank you very much. You want to walk us through this?
Absolutely, sir. I'd be glad to.
And remind me which page this is on.
Sure. It's the municipal court tab. It's towards the front of your book.
Got it.
Page 26.
Got it.
The story here, lean budget. Ms. Wilson's always done an excellent job with it. The reason for the increase this year predominantly is we're switching to new software. Its time has come, along with the training and everything associated with it. You'll see the cost of that on the very next page, which lists the detail for the contractual services line. And you'll see at the top, there it is there, the new software, the licensing and maintenance at $60,000. Separately, but of note, we started taking on item number two a couple years back, which is the public's cost to a public defender, which has been required by the state Supreme Court. That's at $41,000 a year and has worked out very well for us. Let's see. Those are really all the highlights, sir. There's other details, but those are the largest. And turn it back to you.
Tell us how that works with that public defender. Is that a part-time position only on certain days when we're in municipal court?
That is a part-time position. Basically, a defendant would come in, make an application, and the judge would determine if they are approved or not. Then I get in contact with the public defender, and then they're paid per case. So far this year, we've had 40 that have been appointed year to date.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
And are these, is this all the same person, or is this any sort of public defender that is available? Is there a roster
no,
of people?
No, we are contracted with a public defender's office, and Ryan Andrews is the lead, and then sometimes Alan Castro, he also tags in. And
was there a competitive bid process to determine who would
there
take that?
There was. It took place 5 years ago, and then we are going into actually our fifth year. We're currently in our fourth year of that contract. Next year will be the fifth year, and then I'm assuming it'll go to bid again.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
What do they do when they're not public defending? Are they just in private
they
practice?
They are attorneys in private kinda, practice,
kind of like our municipal judges, I guess.
Correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
Okay. Councilman Chapman, you got any questions? Or
the only one I have is under the Municipal Association Set Off Debt Collection Program. Could you maybe elaborate
sure,
a little
absolutely.
Bit
absolutely.
That works?
Is a program that we utilize through the state that when it comes time when people do not pay their fines, we go to the Municipal Association and they provide us with a mechanism to collect from the through the state, and they run social security numbers, things of that nature, to make sure that we have the actual individual to collect that date from their state return.
Great. That sounds like it's worth its money.
Yes, most definitely.
Do Do you find that our budget is comparable to other municipalities our size?
Those I've spoken to, yes. There is, in addition to, I just want to move us to page 116, I believe, which is the bulk of our software, hopefully purchase in the next year, because we'll have contract services under the licensing and maintenance, but the actual software itself can be found on, I think it's 116, yeah.
I see a bunch on 116, I'm not sure I'm seeing the.
It's towards the top, court software. It's probably 1, 2, 3, 4 across, 4 down and over to the right.
All right, got it. It's expensive stuff, isn't it?
It is. It's going to take us, though, to the next level. The current software we're utilizing is 20 years old.
Really?
So as we know, there's been a lot of technology advances and changes over the last 20 years. So this is going to make, this is going to make us way ahead. Great strides for us.
Okay. Has there been any, because we all know that the tough spot in everything in the world these days is employment and filling positions. Have we had any issues about that? Or
we're currently fully staffed. I'd say in the last year we had a little bit of difficulty, but we're there now. We're fully staffed, right, and everything's going well. Thank you.
Okay, good. Any other questions? Would someone like to make this a
move
similar
approval
motion?
Approval of the proposed budget from municipal court and recommend it be sent to council with our proposed approval.
Second.
All right, is there any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, motion passes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, that should bring us to item 6, legal matters. Budget review, legal department, general fund, operating expenditures.
Sir, it's much like court, thin budget, changes mostly result in compensation discussions that have been had at the council level. And we have an assistant court solicitor position that's listed in on the next page under contractual services. That position has been there for some time. One trend to mention to you to bring up is that the volume of our cases are going up every year. And so, you know, not this year, not next year, but probably the year after, we'll need to start looking at another position to handle all those cases. So.
And in legal parlance, that solicitor is the person who prosecutes our cases.
Yes, correct. Correct. Yep.
Okay.
But that's all I have, unless you have questions of Mr. Pagliarini.
Okay. Looks like there's some more software involved.
Yes, sir. This came in last year. And as you all well know, we've done some extensive review into our FOIA process. And we are, it was estimated that we're receiving somewhere between 1,500 and 1,800 FOIA requests per year. And historically, those were always managed by the departments. And there is a need for significant legal oversight. And so the software we've implemented allows, and ma'am, as you know, it's more like a case management system that most firms have. So we should be able to better manage those. It still doesn't help us with the volume of requests and obtaining the information and the extraordinary amount of time our various departments spend on these matters, but it does provide us organizational capability.
All right, council members.
Move to recommend to full council to approval of the budget for the legal department.
Second.
All right. Any discussion? I got one question while we're in discussion. If you look on page 32, outside legal counsel, $22,800 more this year than last year. All right.
You're talking about the actual or the budget in amount, sir? So my understanding is there's been a change since we've done the changeover in the department as to how we handle that.
Okay.
So under contractual, I believe, is the associate solicitor that Mr. DeMora mentioned. My contract and the
right.
contracts you just determined, and then we have outside legal counsel, which is when we need, under our system now, as a more of a true
right.
In-house
general.
Corporate
right.
counsel, that'd be where we send out.
Okay.
I would note this year that we've been, and this is not a budget management, so it's not credit, but that is all entirely dependent on the amount of litigation we have, and this year has just been significantly less on that front
right.
than in preceding years. So that is subject to change, but that is a much lower number this year.
Okay. I was just making sure that I was correct on which outside general outside legal counsel exactly what they handle, and
right.
that's when we go out to a litigator for a litigation case or something other than what
yes,
we
sir.
Would expect you as general counsel.
Right. Our measure is to keep as much in-house as possible. So, for example, this year we've had more than average appeals from our various boards and commissions, and often that requires us to go outside to have an attorney represent or provide advice to those boards or commissions
right.
while we take care of staff.
Right.
So that's just one example of what we see. And then, yes, sir, of course, there's the traditional litigation
right.
that we have. And that's where we've seen a significant drop.
Okay. All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion to recommend this budget to full council, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, thank you very much. All right, I believe we're on item 6B, update and possible action on noise ordinance to repeal and replace section 132.03 titled Noise of the Mount Pleasant Code of Ordinances. I want to pick up where I left off in our last meeting. I went out with the police on a chilly night. There was no wind. We went to the post house on Pitt Street, then we went to Shim Creek, then we went to the shelter, and we didn't go over to Ion. I don't know if anything was happening over there that night. But I want to again remind y'all that we went into one establishment, and it doesn't matter which one, but it was one right on Shim Creek, with a very large crowd and very loud music playing, not a live band, but it was a live party scene. And I have pretty bad hearing in my left ear, but we had our decibel meters, and right there at the source, it was in the 85 to 90 range, which for me is painful. So we walked next door, and there was nothing between us but dock and water, no trees, no house, no fences, no anything. And it was in the 50 to 55 level. And so what I take from that is, of course, we don't know on different nights which way it's going to travel, sound's going to travel. We all know how it travels over water and all that kind of stuff. But something in the 55 range, if it can go from that loud, and we weren't from here to that door away from the source down to 55, that I can certainly see that we could have music on Shim Creek, and to our knowledge, there were no calls or complaints that night. We could have music on Shim Creek and probably other places that meets the requirements of what the restaurants are trying to have, you know, to cater to their clientele and have fun. And at 55 decibels, you can be literally next door, and what's loud enough at the establishment is only 55 next door. And I've been thinking 65, and we listen to our citizens and we look at the other things, but I was shocked that it could drop off that much by going next door. So I don't know, you know, if you were an old village house and your neighbor was doing that, but I can't imagine a neighbor cranking up music that loud. I mean, this was a big burgeoning Shim Creek establishment. So I don't know about every other detail of our proposed ordinances, and we have here, I have one. Is this the proposed new, or is this the unamended one?
So I have a question. Did the new one take out the table with the different decibels?
So
now it's just 65?
What we're, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Just for the benefit of the citizens who asked in this
right.
last month, that's what came out of this committee. The request was to show it as 65 across the board without the table. And so what we did was for the benefit of the public and for this committee, we sent the old version and then the marked up version so you can see those changes, of which there are really two basics. One, ma'am, is the one that you mentioned that shows the 65 across the board, and that was for discussion purposes. And then the second relates to the noise measurement. I believe it was your ma'am that requested that it be measured from the complainant's property line rather than inside. So those are the two fundamental changes that came from this committee last month.
Right. And having gone out with the police, I can see why you would want to measure it. And when we asked Chief Arnold, I'm not sure if he's left the room, you would want to measure it from the person making the call, because different residences are going to get different levels of sound from, I mean, they get it from Coleman Boulevard, different levels of sound. Mm-hmm. So what it applies to is where the person is receiving that noise.
And then instead of the use table, you want to drop it from 65 to 55, you think?
I think 55 is workable. I know I'm the one who threw out the 65 last time, but I can, you know, certainly see that you can drop from 90 something to 65 very quickly.
I have a question.
Yeah, but
is it possible, Mr. Paglarini, for us to pilot? So we have our current ordinance says what's reasonable. So what if there was guidance from council that what's reasonable is 55 decibels from the complainant's property, and let's pilot that for 6 months and let us see what the level of complaints are, what the compliance is, what the issues are, and that would give us a lot of guidance and a lot of data before we actually formally change the ordinance. So could we recommend that and do a pilot program for 6 months?
Yes, ma'am, that is entirely feasible. We'd have to work with Chief Arnold, and so he can appropriately prepare his officers to deal with that. But we could use this as the model. And of course, we wouldn't be right just for the benefit of the public. I presume we wouldn't be writing tickets or anything of the sort. It's just if this were implemented, how would we enforce it? I guess one question I have is notification of the public. It's not an ordinance. We would need to come up with a mechanism, which we can, to notify the public that we are considering these changes, so that obviously compliance, people are going to look to the letter of the law for compliance, and so that might be one weak area that we'd have to solve that problem.
Maybe three months rather than 6 months.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I just think some kind of trial period, and we could post it to the town's website and to social media and put it out there and let the social networks kind of spread the word that we're entering this pilot program. You know, I'm with you. I was thinking 65 as well, but hearing from the citizens so strongly, and I know noise pollution is really impactful, but I think we also have to balance that with the needs of the businesses. But I think your experience of that significant drop off in sound from something, a rager, to mm-hmm. almost nothing just this far away is that it's not that hard to comply with it. Because I think the big concern that we've received, so there's been sort of two factions. There's been people who are like, don't kill live music in Mount Pleasant, right? And then there's the, let me enjoy my patio. So I think that we have to balance that. And I think doing a trial, and I'm happy with 3 months, with the 55 decibels to see if that works, because we might split the difference at 60 if it's a problem, but I think starting at 55 with the trial would be a good thing.
Mr. Paglarini, does that, if we were to do that, remind me, I've got them both sitting here, I could read through them again, but does our current ordinance allow for measuring it from the complainant's property, or
You mean the one that's been on the books for
the
years,
one that if somebody said the letter of the law today says,
right, it's a reasonableness standard. We really don't break down that sort of detail at all.
Okay.
And one of the ideas for this exercise was to provide more specifics and more teeth, allow our officers to have more guidance with that, allow council to dictate that guidance, which is deemed to be necessary. So, but we can do that. We can implement that. I obviously want to get with the chief and see the best way for him to deploy his staff and officers to make that happen in order to capture that data. I don't know whether 90 days is sufficient. It may be, but we could always come back and extend it if that's what you wish.
Or does that cover us legally? Do we need an action of council next Tuesday? Do we need to recommend wording that the existing law says it's a reasonable standard, and right now we want that interpreted as this many decibels from this location?
Well, again, since we're not issuing citations and the like, I think it can be done without, it certainly can be done without action of council. That's not legal. I think the question for this committee is whether you would like to have input from council before doing that, and perhaps providing more more public knowledge of what's happening. That might be the reasons for doing that.
Yeah. So I move that we recommend to full council that we do a three-month pilot with a decibel level of 55 measured from the complainant's property and gather data before we proceed with a noise ordinance.
Is there a second?
I'll second for discussion. And
yes, sir, you have the floor.
I initially thought, from an enforcement standpoint, it was easier just to have one number and be done with it. But I'm wrestling with the idea that nighttime, because sound carries more nighttime, that there should be a differentiation between night and day in terms of the night. And so maybe with the trial period, we'll find that out. But when I looked at what we had suggested from the last meeting, it started to dawn on me that nighttime is more concern because of sleep in particular. So that was my only concern, but maybe we can figure that out with the trial period.
Yeah, and I think the other thing with the trial period that if it's 55 from the complainant's property and this goes the way we think it will, hopefully it'll be quiet enough where the part about limiting time will take care of itself, because if you don't hear it, it doesn't matter.
Right.
But if we hear it, then we got to come back and we've got to get strict about the times as well. But let's figure out the decibel, you know, as Bob Bremer used to say, what problem are we trying to solve? It's not what time there's music, it's what time neighbors hear the music. And so if we work first on the level that you hear, the other issues will become more clear, or maybe take care of themselves. I'm not saying it's a panacea, but maybe.
Right.
Well, and I also think from taking out the table, at first I was a little bit like, well, maybe we should have kept the table. But I think as far as ease of enforcement for the police officers to know, there's one number, this is it, instead of being like, well, it's 8:59 and I'm going to stand here for one more, and in one more minute there's a violation. I think having a flat number for the town is a good thing.
Okay. So we have a motion, we have a second. Any further discussion? We will, this is to recommend this to council Tuesday night.
Yes, sir. My idea would be that we'll submit the draft ordinance as discussed over the months and today, and this will be a committee action item,
okay,
not listed under council action or ordinances, so as not to confuse the public or anyone else.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. The motion passes. The next item is executive session for legal advice related to potential litigation concerning sewer service.
Move to go into executive session.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? If we go into executive session, where are we going? Into the
courtroom.
Courtroom?
Yes.
All right. All in favor of the motion to go into executive session for the reasons stated, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And the committee may take action on any item, including any reconvened after executive session at which we received legal advice, as noted in the motion. Is there any motion to follow after that executive session?
No, sir.
There being none, that completes item 6. Item 7 is to adjourn. This committee meeting is adjourned.